Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is heard on 2 stations in Ohio and Virginia, as well as Brunswick, Georgia, St. Augustine, and Jacksonville, Florida. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities, and we sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast. As we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale, please go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donation button, or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention Radio.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now, let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about today a subject: what is Christian nationalism? What is Christian nationalism? We have those that want to use the derogatory term to speak of us that take a stand. In other words, today, ladies and gentlemen, if you're willing to say that you're a Christian publicly, if you say that you're for life and not for murder by way of abortion, if you say the one in the mother's womb is a human being and deserves life, if you speak aloud and say that you believe in Jesus, if you are willing to admit that you place your faith and trust in God, if you're one that's openly willing to talk about faith and freedom and biblical principles, if you're one of those that are willing to say that America was founded on Judeo-Christian values and the our Declaration of Independence and our founding fathers were believers and that gave us a Judeo-Christian document, if you're willing to openly praise God and praise the Lord Jesus Christ, pray before a meal or pray in a public forum, then you're called a Christian nationalist today, ladies and gentlemen. And I find that a derogatory statement, but yet I wear that badge today, ladies and gentlemen, without fear, without intimidation. I believe we have John on the line. John, go with your question. Comment, please.
Yes, Dr. Youngblood, I just wanted to let you know, let's see, Glenn's retired from JSO, so am I. I'm going on my 19th year being retired from the Jacksonville Sheriff's Office. It was an awesome experience. And let's see. I just rode by a gas sign or a gas station, $4.75 for regular gas. It's just makes it really exciting. But anyway, I feel that they're trying to make everything as difficult as possible to overthrow the country. I think gas prices. I think Biden and his administration, they're worthless as far as I think they're doing a great job trying to overcome the country. But as far as them sincerely being concerned about our country and the economy and stuff like that, that's all a smokescreen. They have the agenda that they want to overcome the country. They tried it with COVID. That didn't seem to work. So I guess they're going to break the economy to where we can get on the reset thing. Because it's kind of interesting how he continues to use the word transition. Like we're transitioning to, I guess, where they want us to be. And I know there was some kind of international conference that I think it was in Sweden or something with all the wealthy people of the world there. And one person that they showed on Fox, a little soundbite thing that she was talking about how, well, yes, we're going to have to go through inflation and that type of a thing. But that's necessary for us to get where we want you to be. So somehow it's got to be a God thing that's going to turn this around. But somehow, too, we have to have enough people that are going to be able to speak up for themselves and not be called racist because they turned the definition of racist to something that has nothing to do with the original definition with racist. But it's just I feel like they're doing whatever they can do, and things are going to continue to get worse. I'm not normally a negative person, but this is like so out of control now with all the stuff that's going on that they're just going to keep doing things until they either something's going to happen that's going to totally stop everything that's going on, or we're going to end up. I don't know where we're going to end up, actually. But thank you for what you do and how you speak out for us. Thank you.
Well, John, thank you so much for your call. Let me kind of put a little parenthetical footnote on that. That meeting was in Davos, Switzerland, and that statement was absolutely correct that you just quoted as an outgrowth of that meeting. And, you know, with Joe Biden, he's used the term, we're going to build back better. And with Barack Hussein Obama, he said, we're going to fundamentally change America. And those two dovetail together because behind the scenes, Joe Biden is the puppet. The puppeteer is one that is Barack Hussein Obama and George Soros. And they're the globalists. And the globalist mentality is that we need to destroy America. In fact, Karl Marx, one of Marx's mantras and evidences was that you need to build back better. To build back better, you've got to tear down and destroy the capitalistic system. And so we're watching Joe Biden dismantling America. He's dismantling our resources. He's dismantling the authority as a nation. He's dismantling law enforcement. He's dismantling our borders. He's dismantling everything that we call a sovereign nation. He's dismantling it with the mindset that you will build back better, and the build back better is a socialist, Marxist, communist mantra, and their desire is to see America a socialist, Marxist, communist nation and not a sovereign constitutional republic. And that's the thing that is so vividly clear with what they're doing. They're going to break America financially. They are in the process now of destroying our sovereignty by removing the borders. By the end of this year, we'll have over 3 million illegals in America that they will be receiving free food, clothing, and shelter. And as they come in, they're getting a free cell phone. They're not having to pass a COVID test or take a COVID jab, as Americans are required to. They're being given free medical care. They're being given... They're putting in the brown envelope. They're given about $1,500 cash. They're being transported across America to infiltrate the red states in particular. So we're watching the destruction of our nation to build back better as they view it. And when you have enough socialist, Marxist, communist in the U.S. House and the Senate with the leadership that is a socialist, Marxist, communist himself and those that are pulling the strings, the idea is that the Constitution is bad, that the Constitutional Republic is wicked, that capitalism is absolutely wretched, then the mindset is that they have, that they've got to tear it all down in order to build it back in a socialist Marxist model. And so that's what we see taking place today. It's sad, but it is true. And all we can do is pray and ask God to intervene and ask God to provide men that will be able to stand up and stand on the shoulders of our founding fathers and do which is pleasing to the Lord to hopefully retrieve America. But the other side of that coin could very well be that because we banned God, we banned the Bible, we have rejected God, that this could be a part of God's judgment on America for saying no to Jesus Christ, for rejecting the truth of the Word of God. And so my call every day is for Christians to wake up, speak up, stand up, be heard, be seen, be visible, verbal, and valiant in our stand that God can give us victory to preserve America and the constitutional liberties that we yet have before it's too late. So, John, thank you so much for your call, brother. I believe we have Dan on the line. Dan, go over the question or comment, please.
Youngblood, while I was waiting to come on the phone here, a radio with you, about every conservative, Republican, or independent politician should reach down and grab the slogan, I am a proud American, whatever they're accusing us of being.
Christian nationalist.
Christian nationalist, and here's why. Did not the founding fathers structure this nation to be just that?
Yes.
Christian nationalist country? So therefore, these politicians need to rally that claim, take it, run with it, and win with it.
Absolutely. In fact, Dan, while you're on the air, let me just read you a blurb or two to validate what you're saying. On June 21st, 1776, John Adams wrote these words, "Statesman, my dear sir, may I plan and speculate for liberty, but it is religion and morality alone which can establish the principles upon which freedom can securely stand. The only foundation of a free constitution is pure virtue, and if this cannot be inspired into our people in a greater measure, then have it known today that may change their rulers and forms of government, but they will not obtain a lasting liberty, end quote. Further, John Adams wrote these words, "If it be the pleasure of heaven that my country shall require the poor offering of my life, the victim shall be ready. At the appointed hour of sacrifice come, when the hour, whatever the hour may be, but while I do live, let me have a country that is a free country." Further, he states on July 1st, 1776, "Before God, I believe that the hour has come. My judgment approves this measure, and my whole heart is all in it. All that I have, all that I am, and all that I hope in this life, I am now ready here to stake upon it. And I leave off as I began, to that live or die, survive or perish, I am for this declaration. It is my living sentiment, and by the blessings of God, it shall be my dying sentiment, independence and independence forever," end quote. And I could go on and on and on. I'm quoting from a large volume called America's God and Country, Encyclopedia of Quotations from Our Founding Fathers. So, Dan, you're exactly right.
You'll never hear those words spoken in any college, in any high school history class, or anywhere on the media network.
That's right.
Those words were written and spoken by a creator of nations, our founding fathers.
Yes.
What would your program be like if it was to say, what if, the what if issued program, where America was able to fulfill its destiny by the eyes of the founding fathers? What kind of a country would we have today if our forefathers, grandparents, parents, and even parents today were able to live the American dream, and it hadn't been undermined and destroyed by the socialists and those in power today? Can you imagine maybe 50 cents a gallon? Maybe milk, $87 a quart? Could you imagine shelves overflowing, factories booming, exporting all kinds of commodities to the third world? We used to do that.
We used to do that very thing, Dan. If I could jump in for just a moment, we used to do that. And all that we see with the food famine, with the gas shortage, with the high prices and the escalation of the inflation. And yet, as of the morning's news, said we have about 4.5 million that left the workplace during the lockdowns that have not gone back to work. If we had simply allowed God to continue to rule and reign and direct in our lives. Not that we were all spiritual people in America. That's not the point. But we go back to the founding fathers and our founding documents. It was founded based on the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God, with founding documents written by men that surrendered to God and to the gospel of Jesus Christ. But right now we find all of these shortages, all of these escalations are man-made. They are created by those in office to destroy what we have and then to call it build back better. And in fact, I'm looking for, before the end of the summer, we will probably have right here in our general area in Florida, we'll probably have $7 a gallon for gas already on the West Coast, according to a news article that was on television just over the weekend, already on the West Coast, $7.99, $8.99 a gallon for gasoline in the state of California in some places. We're headed for major catastrophic events, and it seems as though people are thinking that somehow, some way, it is something that's just happening, but we have destroyed what God had given us in this wonderful experience, as they call it, called the United States of America.
We've suffered a political invasion.
Yes, absolutely. Dan, I'm looking at an article. I'll touch on this and get your comments, and then we will move on. This article says it's a heart problem, not a gun or mental or health problem. This article written by Chuck Norris says, my wife, Gina, and my heart, our hearts are broken in two with the as with all Americans, as we heard the abominable massacre of the 19 precious children and two amazing teachers in the Robb Elementary School in Uvalde, Texas. We joined the rest of the nation in sending our most heartfelt and deepest sympathies, sorrows, and prayers to the victims and the residents of Uvalde, Texas, who are suffering right now from the devastating loss. And he goes on to talk about the question and the question that everyone continues to ask, why? Why are these mass shootings happening and increasing? It's interesting, this article reads, it's interesting that Harvard researchers concluded the reason for the acceleration rate of mass shootings has not yet been identified. If it hasn't, then why is it that our mainstream media and our politicians blame mental illness and the lack of gun control legislation? Do they know more than the Harvard researcher that researched the subject? And he goes on to talk about the gun is not the problem. It is not mental illness that's the problem. It's not having the need for more restrictions. It's the problem with the heart, and it's the problem of the need to turn back to God. How do you respond to that?
Well, that was one of my original reasons to call. 16 years ago, there was a series called Boston Legal. On the second season, 22nd or 23rd episode, they had a court case where a young teenage boy was so addicted to a video game that it cost him his life.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't eat, didn't go to school, the mother working two jobs, single mother, didn't keep an eye, didn't know what was going on, and he died because of the game. Well, the mother sued the producer of that game. But what they didn't know until the court, that the creator of the game hired a psychiatrist, mentalist, to design that game to the point where it was so addictive that you didn't want to play it. You had to play it. Your whole life revolved around playing that game. That was 16 years ago. The writers, the producers, the actors, everybody presented that episode. What has the video games become today? How addictive? Are they the cause of the shoot 'em up, bang, bang, kill when they're asked, why did you do it? I wanted to see what it felt like to take a life, to watch him die, to have the power. I gained the power. That is the truth. We have been, such an assault. Every facet of our lives was attacked, is attacked, and we're dying from within.
Yes, Dan.
That was 16 years ago, that episode.
Yes. Let me touch on this, and it ties the loose ends up, and we can move from there. This young man, 18 years old, Salvador Ramos, had been addicted to video games. He also would dress out in black. He would carry a set of boxing gloves with him, a pair of boxing gloves with him, and would try to start a fight in as many cases as he could. He was involved in watching the videos of mass murders. He was a high school dropout. He had a propensity to be involved in drugs. He had posted himself dressed as a girl. He would put on lipstick, eye makeup, and a wig, or grow his hair, and pretend to be a girl. In fact, I'm looking at a picture now that he posted online with girl shoes on, girl socks on, girl skirt, and makeup as a girl. So he was in a major, major problem in that realm, having a major, and I go back to the problems in the governmentally controlled school system where murder is approved by way of abortion, where the sodomite lifestyle is pushed by way of the LGBTQ, where we're told, the students are told that we were evolved from a blob in the ocean, that God didn't create us, and told that Jesus Christ cannot be mentioned in the classroom. You can't pray. You can't even have the pledge to the flag. So, Dan, it's an impossibility for us to expect anything less than what we're seeing with the mass murders. In fact, just yesterday, a fifth-grade boy right here in the state of Florida, one of the schools, was arrested because of threatening to carry out a mass shooting. So I think there's a major, major, major need today for us to turn back to God and to recognize that being called Christian nationalist is a derogatory term, but I'll wear that derogatory badge any day of the week. Dan, thank you so much for your call, for your input, and for what you're saying. Keep on looking up. We need to keep praying that God will intervene and give us victory at the ballot, and that God will intervene and remove President Biden from office, that we can have the hope and the potentiality of God's intervention of turning America around before we are lost as a nation, irretrievably so. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about today the subject of what is Christian nationalism? What does that mean? We find that so often there's a movement today, in fact, because of the shootings in Uvalde, Texas, and because of the previous shootings at the supermarket in Buffalo, New York, and other school shootings, somehow, some way, the loose likes lost liberals then will jump to the fact that we need to have gun control, that somehow, some way, we need to enforce the gun control and destroy our Second Amendment rights. Ladies and gentlemen, that's not the answer to the problem. I believe we have Jim on the line. Jim, go over the question or comment, please.
Hey, Dr. Youngblood, you doing all right today?
I'm doing great. I pray that you are.
Doing well, doing well. Nature abhors a vacuum. If that vacuum is not filled with Jesus Christ and God, well, Satan will certainly step in and fill it for you. He did say in Matthew 24 there, talking about birth pains, and birth pains don't start all at once there. They're consecutively build, and that's what we're watching in this day and age, watching it build.
We're just watching it. In fact, Jim, I'm looking at the article that I spoke of a moment ago. It's a heart problem and not a not a gun or a mental health problem. And the article that continues with this statement. Dr. Cornell explained, and this is a researcher that's researching the subject, Harvard researcher, to be clear, gun restrictions are not the answer. But one factor that could help keep them out of the hands of felons and extreme mental illness cases. Blaming guns for mass shooting is like blaming beds or back alleys for rapes, blaming crowbars for burglaries, or blaming Slim Jims for car thefts. It's not the weapon or the tool that's used in the crime. That's not the blame. The primary cause of mass shootings, like other violent crimes, is the corrupt character of the criminal. The truth is, a mass shooting occurs for the same reason that every other act of violence occurs. Excuse me. And he says, because human nature is bent to wrongdoing and evil, when provided the right or the wrong circumstances, human tragedy always results. Culture itself, with its demeaning of individuals and devaluing of human life, contribute to the coordinating corridor of character, prizing possessions and position over people. And he goes on with a great detail as to what is taking place with the culture. It is sad, but that is what we see happening today. He quotes here, George Washington, 1732, 1799, even warned Americans as he left his eighth year in office, do not suppose that morality can be maintained without religion. Reason and experience both forbid us to accept that national morality can prevail in the exclusion of a religious people. And that's exactly what we see taking place today. We've left our rights as individuals, we've left them aside. We've said that somehow, some way, religious people, i.e. Christians, conservatives, do not have a place in society, and we're left as second-class citizens. And for too long, Jim, I believe that Christians and conservatives, we've sat back in silence and allowing the narrative to be carried by the socialist Marxist media and the loose likes lost left on the liberal aisle, and somehow, some way, feeling that we don't have a seat at the table. What are your thoughts to that?
I believe you're correct. I believe that we need a bigger seat at the table, but it's going to take a lot of backbone from some very courageous individuals, because they're going to be publicly smeared, publicly humiliated, and they should have all of their ducks in order. Speaking of politics there, John Adams, I've read that book. I think it's by McCullough.
Yes.
I can't remember that woman's name. But that should almost be mandatory reading. The thing that I glean from that book is a deep abiding love between John and Abigail Adams.
Yeah.
Them bringing up their sons and daughters in a Christian manner. Early America and its founding of based on Christianity, and some of our most prestigious institutions of education in that day were biblical colleges along with scholarly colleges. They had Bible studies daily.
Oh, in fact, early on, the rotunda in the Capitol was a place for worship services on Sunday, where they would bring in either the political leadership would bring a message, a Bible study, and a message, or they would import pastors to bring a message on Sunday services in our Capitol building. And God forbid if that would happen today. In fact, Jerry Nadler would probably have a heart attack. Jerry Nadler has already said that the U.S. House of Representatives is not a place for the Word of God to be read. In fact, I'm looking at an article here in this book, America, God, and Country, Encyclopedia of Quotations, and a letter to Thomas Jefferson, December the 25th, 1813. John Adams wrote, "I have examined all religions as well as my narrow sphere, my straight meanings, and my busy life would allow. And the result is that the Bible is the best book in the world. It contains more philosophy than all the libraries in all the world," end quote. And yet we have come a long way from that, Jim, and I think that's the major problem we're seeing in society today. This is the reason we're finding the shootings. This is the reason we're finding the mass murders. This is the reason we're finding that we have those in office that are wanting to squelch our Constitution. Joe Biden's already said there's nothing in the Bill of Rights that's absolute. All of those can be changed, modified, or removed, and that's his process today, and they're trying to find a rationale to do so. So, Jim, thank you so much for your call. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to keep looking up in the realization and the recognition that we're on the fast track for demise as a nation, lest we as Christians stand up, speak up, be heard, be seen. Our public school systems today, ladies and gentlemen, is part and parcel of the problem. It is the governmentally controlled school system today that teachers teach murder is okay by way of abortion. The teachers are teaching that homosexuality, sodomite LGBTQ lifestyle is just an alternative lifestyle. They're teaching that somehow, some way, man came from a blob in the ocean and God did not create us, so therefore there's no responsibility and obligation to honor God. There's no Bible, no prayer, no Jesus, no pledge to the flag in the classroom today. So this Salvador Ramos simply was carrying out what he was trained to do based on a lack of knowledge, a lack of recognition, a lack of surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. We're on the fast track to say further demise of that, lest we turn back to God. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe it's time that we recognize that we need to pray, seek God's face, turn from our wicked ways, and ask God to heal our land. 2 Chronicles 7:14 is the mantra that I use so often because it is so needed today to recognize that. So, yes, let's wear the badge honorably that we are Christian nationalists, if you want to call us that, on the left. We need to take the stand that we're going to say yes to Jesus Christ. And wherever we are, whatever we do, we're going to honor him. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
A First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295, FCBC invites you to tune in nightly 9 to 10 for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with them. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE.